Well, here we are. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good, thank you. Yes, doing very well indeed. How are you?
I'm not doing bad for an old guy, thank you. You know, I am a man in my 60s, as are you, but, you know.
Yes.
Welcome, everybody.
Still getting used to it. Still getting used to it.
Yes, it's a journey that we're on, and, you know, next thing you know, we'll be talking about, you know, just cracking the 70 barrier, and then, you know, onward
well,
it goes.
You know, give us a bit of time yet, Barry. When you think it was, you know, 10, 11 years ago that we started these webcasts, that does seem a long time ago.
So. Oh, yeah, it does. Well, I can't imagine what we're going to be doing in 10 years from now, you know, whether we'll be doing holograms.
Well, who knows what we'll be doing.
Well, welcome, everybody, to, again, another live stream with Mark and I, and so appreciate you joining us. It's we never take it for granted. As we often say, we're surprised when people want to join us, so we just so appreciate that. So anything new and exciting in your world, mate? Any announcements or anything, or...?
Well, just to say a couple of things. First of all, we had our first Together Again Day last Saturday in Hardley near Southampton. We had a wonderful time. We didn't have a lot of people there with us, but it was just so good to be together again. And everybody who came really, really enjoyed it, really appreciated it. But sadly, we've had to take the decision to cancel the one in Bridgnorth on the 27th of November. So that won't be going ahead anymore and just a few things just didn't come together, and so we just felt we needed to cancel that. Maybe we'll be able to reschedule it in the new year, but those of you who signed up, I've already emailed you, and obviously don't turn up on Saturday the 27th because no one else will be there.
Well, maybe so I was going to say maybe you want to give them your home address in case, you know, just to redirect the traffic.
Well, you know, why not, eh? and the other thing just to mention is we've got the Father Heart Encounter Week next March. The more I think about these weeks, these schools, I just realize how important they are and how life-changing they are. That when we just take a block of time just to soak ourselves in the Father's love, you know, the difference, the change that can make in our lives. I know many of you watching this have been on those schools before, but of course you're always welcome to come again. Or you can just tell your friends about it. Tell your friends your story, your journey of encountering the Father and the difference it's made to your life. And we would just love to welcome people from your churches, your friends, even, you know, you again, we'd just love to see you. These are life-changing weeks, and I think people come with a little bit of trepidation sometimes, but by the middle of the week, by the end of the week, they really can see the transformation that is beginning in their heart, and they also can see the how this can go for them in the future and where this can lead. And, you know, here's Barry and I. I mean, Barry came into this, 1998. I was 2002. And for us, it's like the journey goes on. There's still more to discover. But actually, we wouldn't have it any other way, would we, mate?
I'll tell you, I think it's going to take an eternity to really process the love that the Father has for us. So I think we're just getting a head start.
And why not? I think we should enjoy it now.
Absolutely. That is awesome. I just noticed that we have a friend online live from the Philippines. And so that's that's quite a time difference. So that's, I'm not sure what time that is, if it's early in the morning or the evening, mid-evening, like...
Depending on their definition, it's either very late at night or very early in the morning,
I think. Well, for me these days, that would be early in the morning, as I'm, I don't know if anybody else who is getting a little bit longer in the tooth, as they say, but I'm getting up pretty early these days, and, you know, the older I get, It's not that. And the thing is, I can sleep in. You know, I don't have to be at work at a specific time. But you know, this morning I was up wide, as they say, bright eyed and bushy tailed at 3:30 a.m.
We could have had a cup of coffee together, Barry.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, of course, you would have been just probably well into your day as well. But
I wouldn't say well into the day. It had started. I actually had a meeting, an online Zoom meeting at 9 o'clock. So I was getting the coffee going.
Well, that's good. So I just would like to, you know, be able to sleep.
4 a.m. New York, Barry. It's 4 a.m. It's 4 a.m. in the Philippines.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes, that is awesome. And, of course, we, you know, we have friends from down under and from all over Europe and North America. So, it's we so appreciate each one of you. So thanks so much for joining us, as always. So Mark, what are we talking about tonight?
We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit is joy. I thought about putting my flashing lights on and my party scene and
you can
creating
still.
The atmosphere. But I settled for the just, you know, as it is.
As it is, yes.
We're talking about joy. I think you're kicking off the discussion, and then we're just going to chat about it together, see where it goes.
Yeah, and of course, if you want to have the party lights on, you know, when you it's probably appropriate. Mark has this amazing lighting set up in his studio that he can just he can simulate all kinds of different exciting lighting effects. So that's great. Well, would you mind opening in prayer? Then I'll just give some thoughts, and then we'll kind of get back together, and if you've got some thoughts, and as we do these things. Yes,
sure. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, thank you, Father, once again for your presence. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you, just thank you for being you. Thank you, Father, that you are our Father, and that the desire of your heart is that you would be a Father to each one of us. That's how we would see you. That's how we would see you, because that's who you are. Father, thank you. This revelation is really just all about recovering so much that's been lost.
Yeah.
Finding out what you're really like. And Father, just as we talk about this fruit of the Spirit joy this evening, Father, may we just see that you are a joyful Father.
Yeah.
And may that joy that is in your heart every moment of every day, may it spill over into our hearts too. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's a good prayer. Thanks, mate. See you in a bit.
See you in a bit.
So, yeah, Mark and I talk about, you know, texting back and forth if we have anything on our hearts to share. And it was this week that Mark asked me if I had something, and I just felt like just talking, unpacking, you know, last week, I think it was, we talked about trust, and I thought, you know what, you know, it would just be, you know, I just was thinking about joy and the fruit of the Spirit, you know, that joy is. And, I thought I would just open up with just a few thoughts myself, and then, you know, that we can go from there. And see where we go with it. But I think, you know, one of the things that I think about is that, especially in this the world that we're living in now, there has been so much, in a sense, dis-ease, you know, in the whole idea of the pandemic that we've been in, and how the ripple effects of that have affected the economy, and how it's affected even, you know, my wife and I went into a paint store the other day just to get some paint, and the paint store is out of paint. Certainly the paint that we wanted, it just says there's a shortage, and there's so many shortages that have been kind of a ripple effect that has been caused by this idea of a pandemic. And so, you know, I think, you know, it's one of these things that, you know, how does joy actually fit into our everyday life, and how do we walk in a joyful way when there are things that are around us that, you know, really aren't really there may be a bit concerning, right? And of course, you might have health concerns, or you might have a loved one who is sick or has passed away yourself, and so it's kind of like I guess for me, I just wanted to talk a little bit about joy and how it is we've seen joy manifest in our life. I mean, I think one of the things that I've certainly am learning myself is that the only thing that we can give one another is what we've received at first, right? It's like, that's how the kingdom works. Freely as you receive, freely give. And so, I hope to share a little bit of my thoughts on joy as well. And I know Mark has them, but, you know, we know from a biblical perspective that in Romans 14:17, the Bible says the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we know that joy is a charter member in the kingdom. And in Psalm 16, verse 11, talking about the throne room of God, it says, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand is pleasures forevermore. And we just know that joy is like there, if you read a lot of the Psalms, even they talk about making a joyful noise or shout for joy. And even Jesus told his disciples that you're going to leap for joy. I mean, I think you have to have the joy meter has to be pretty intense for you to start leaping for joy. But I really believe that, it's something that I feel that in this world that we're having, and Jesus did say to his disciples, but, you know, by proxy through us, he said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And so I think the one thing that I just feel like, I don't know, I guess in my heart, I believe or I hope that God wants to impart joy to us in a deeper level today than we've ever experienced, no matter what we're facing. And there's one scene. When I say it's a scene, it's a description in the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 30-32. And I just think, like, this is a beautiful description of the throne room of God. And it's the New Living Translation. A lot of the other translations aren't this descriptive of the atmosphere of heaven. But this is a wisdom speaking, and I believe really that speaking, the Son of God is speaking about being the architect at the side of God when the earth was created. So I just want to read this, for us to think a little bit about maybe what heaven is actually like even right now. And so this is Proverbs 8:30-32. And when he marked off the earth's foundations, I was the architect at his side. I was his constant delight, rejoicing always in his presence. And how happy I was with the world he created, how I rejoiced with the human family. And so my children, listen to me, for all who follow my ways are joyful. And it's interesting that the word there where it says that I was rejoicing always in his presence is it's a Hebrew word pronounced sakak, and it means to laugh, to play, to sport, to jest. So it's like a very playful sense of joy. It's not this, you know, very staid and very, you know, suppressed emotion. It's like this explosive joy. And so when we think of Psalm 16 that says, in here, your presence is fullness of joy. I think the joy, there's this bursting joy that is in heaven. And, you know, Jesus talked in the prodigal son, the trilogy of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son in Luke chapter 15. And of course, Jesus is speaking about these three trilogies of parables because the religious people were judging Jesus for hanging out with sinners. And Jesus says in Luke 15:7, he says, I tell you that there will be even more joy in over one sinner who repents, and more joy in heaven than over 99 righteous people who don't need to repent. And, you know, we know that from a biblical, but a statistical perspective, there are thousands of people coming into the kingdom, being born again into the kingdom of God every day. And if the angels in heaven rejoice over each one, that comes home, what is heaven like? And so I think we have this idea sometimes of heaven being, you know, and of course we see the throne room and the book of Revelation, and you have, you know, the 24 elders are bowing down, crying, holy, 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 and the angels are covering their eyes, crying, holy, holy, holy. And that is for sure what heaven is like. But I believe there is this infusion of joy that is that, and again, Mark prayed it, that we have a joyful Father. And I believe that the more that we are able to be able to come to terms with the joy that the Lord has, in Nehemiah, it says that it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. It's not our joy, it's His joy. And when we talk about joy being a fruit of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not our fruit. So I really believe when we talk about being joyful from a biblical perspective, it goes beyond our circumstances, because joy is not a self-generated emotion. You know, and James talks about in James 1, he says, consider it pure joy, you know, when you have these hardships. And so I think there's something of that when we know that we're loved, when we know that God is joyful and He's rejoicing over us, then the more that we will be able to actually open our hearts up even to believe that He wants to fill us with His joy now. And one of the things that where this became really, really real to Ann and I, my wife, is when we were going through the early days of our daughter's cancer diagnosis, and this is now back in 2014, so she's doing great now. But back then she was diagnosed with leukemia, and she had a form of leukemia that was very aggressive, and there was a chance that she wouldn't survive. And, you know, of course, you know, I stopped traveling internationally and to stay home and be with our family during that time. And she went through 2.5 years of cancer treatment. But I did still speak on the webcast like I'm doing now. I did speak locally and in different schools and things. And I felt like, you know, I was just feeling gutted. I felt absolutely, you know, just devastated, sharing in the suffering with our daughter, because the chemotherapy treatment she was on was incredibly intense, and so it was like I didn't know. It was like I felt like I lost my joy, and I you know, when I would speak or minister, it was like I wanted to be authentic. I didn't want to pretend that everything was going well when it wasn't. And hopefully during that time I was honest and authentic even on the webcast. But it was like, how do I walk in that supernatural joy? And it wasn't until I really came to terms with that the joy that the Lord wants to give each one of us is not circumstantial. It's not based on our self-generated emotions, but it is actually an impartation of joy that comes from God Himself. And so when I began to realize that in a deeper level, I realized that it wasn't something I had to drum up, but it was actually the joy of the Lord. And so when you think about that for a moment, you know, what is He, when He's joyful, what is He joyful over? And when you start to think about what gives Him joy, I want to encourage you. I believe that the joy that just actually explodes in the Trinity is you and me. In Zephaniah 3:17, God is speaking, or God's describing God, says, Yahweh your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will calm you in His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And so, you know, my prayer, and you know, and as we just unpack this today, and maybe end today with, you know, just a little corporate prayer time, even, is that we would begin to, like the picture I get when I'm even speaking now is just like, It sometimes we get so overwhelmed in our own circumstances. It's like there's a really dense cloud cover. You know, the sun's still shining, but we just aren't aware of the sun shining because of the circumstances, because of the issues of life that are kind of blocking its view. But like, it's like just to have this picture of just a kind of a blast from the nostrils of God, where God would begin to see us a perspective of our lives from heaven, and we begin to realize that it's His joy over us that would actually strengthen us, and it would actually fill us, and it would cause us to be able to you know, even counterculture, you know, in a world that maybe is losing its mind with fear and insecurity and all kinds of things due to even our current world events, that I believe that it is absolutely possible, it's biblical, and it's God's will that you and I can walk in a supernatural impartation of the joy that the Father has for us, that the joy of the Lord actually becomes our strength. And it doesn't matter. We could be suffering. We could be going through hardship. We could be going through loss. And it's not like it's not to diminish those things in any way, because God's close to the brokenhearted. But I believe that there is a promise from God that says weeping may endure for the night. And you know, when weeping is meant to endure, it's appropriate. You know, and I think it's like, you know, sometimes we try to get people when they need to be weeping, you know, we try to get them to be joyful. But there is a promise of joy coming in the morning. And I think of this idea of joy that is connected with being loved, and is specifically being loved with the Father's love. Jesus is speaking in John 15, verse 9 to 11. And these are words He says to His disciples. He says, "Even as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in His love. I have spoken these things to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." See, what Jesus is specifically speaking about is the joy that we will have is because we are loved by the Father, and that we are living in that place of being loved. And so, I guess, you know, when I think about that, and when I was able to go through this process, and my wife was able to go through this process, you know, in this time with our daughter, it was like I got my joy back, you know, and it's just amazing. Even though, you know, we had to walk out, you know, a long, difficult treatment with our daughter for 2.5 years, it was like there was this supernatural impartation of joy that, and again, it wasn't like the, you know, it doesn't mean that you can't be honest and authentic with your struggles. Of course, God wants to be us to be honest with Him and be able to be real about the things we wrestle with. But I think in the midst of that is that, you know, when we need that strength, you know, of to be reassured that, you know, everything's going to be okay, certainly from an eternal perspective, that we would be able to just ask the Father to fill us with His joy, and that joy of knowing that we're loved, and that He's going to continue to love us forever. And, you know, even Paul the Apostle, I you know, like Paul went through a lot of stuff, right? He was beaten, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked. You know, he had a lot going on. And you know, he made a comment, and he said, "I consider these light and momentary afflictions to pale in comparison to the glory that will be revealed in us." And so I think that even sometimes, and when we're going through hardships and things, that there could be a perspective of the eternal that the Father wants to bring into our circumstances. Because Paul also said, he said, "So we fix our eyes on the things unseen, not the things seen, for the things that are unseen are eternal, and the things that are seen are temporal." And so I think part of that fixing our gaze on God Himself, and to, you know, sometimes, you know, for me, and I don't know how you do it yourself, but you know, especially when maybe I get a nasty email or somebody says something that's not very, you know, encouraging to me because of all the website stuff that we do. You know, if it hits home, you know, sometimes I'll come to the Father and I'll just say, Father, will you tell me who I am? Can you tell me what you think of me? And I just sit there and I wait. And it's not like I hear from heaven and a voice and all that stuff, but it's just like, yeah, when I just start to feel his affirmation and his love, and then it's just like, oh, then his joy over me. And then that joy is contagious. You know, it fills me with that joy. So anyways, that's my opening comments, Mark. If you're ready, mate, I'll bring you back in and just, get your thoughts on the topic.
Yeah. Thanks, Barry. That's good. C.S. Lewis said that joy is the serious business of heaven. And there are many, many times that we don't feel like being joyful. But yet somehow, and this is a mystery. This is a mystery. Somehow God is eternally joyful. We get dragged down and bogged down by everything that's going on around us, everything that's going on in our lives, and they are very, very real circumstances, very, very real situations, and we're not belittling those in any way, but we lose our joy when those things come against us. And it's understandable.
Yeah.
It really is understandable. But yet, even with all the mess in the world and all the problems in the world, God never loses his joy. He is eternally joyful. And that's a mystery. That is a mystery. There are things, even in those few short sentences that I've just said, there are things about God that we don't understand. Because it's not that he takes joy in our pain. Mm-hmm. It's not that he takes joy in our sorrow. It's not that he takes joy in our brokenness. He doesn't. Of course he doesn't. But he is joyful because he is bigger, yeah, than all of our circumstances, all of our situations, all of our problems. And I think the joy that we're talking about is something we begin to receive when we realize that he is bigger than us, that he is bigger than our situations, and we can give those things to him. 'Cause, you know, joy is a quality. You know, I can be joyful when I'm with my family. I can be joyful when I'm with my grandkids. I can be joyful when I'm out doing things I enjoy doing. You know, there's that word, enjoy. But you know, the real lasting joy that we're talking about is a gift. It's the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit, but it's the fruit of the Spirit living in us. You know, and if you want more joy, just ask for more of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was talking to my wife earlier and she said, just pray for everyone to be baptized in the Holy Spirit again, you know. And I think, yeah, I mean, I've been in some crazy times when the Holy Spirit has fallen on and you just see people enjoying the joy of the Lord. Mm. And maybe we'll have a chance just to pray for people a little bit later, Barry. But there is a mystery attached to joy. And for us to really understand the joy of the Lord, we have to understand that joy is a mystery. Mm. And that joy is tied into something bigger than us. And it comes from someone bigger than us. And it comes from someone who sees the big perspective, you know, and is therefore joyful. We just see a narrow perspective and it's kind of sometimes tough, you know. Mm. But he sees the big perspective. And that's why he's joyful. Yeah. C.S. Lewis also said that 1 second of joy is worth 12 hours of pleasure. Mm. You know, real joy is just so much deeper than everyday pleasure. And there's nothing wrong with pleasure. You know, I enjoy pleasure. We all enjoy pleasure, you know. Chocolate, pleasure, you know.
Yeah.
There are many, many things in life that give us pleasure. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But
yeah,
the real joy goes way way beyond chocolate, sadly. But I just want to tell you one little thing. When I, the first sermon I ever preached, I was 19 years old.
Wow.
And I was speaking in a little Baptist church in a tiny little village just a few miles away from where we lived at the time. And there were, I went there with one of the leaders in our church, and he was just encouraging me to just step out in preaching, and it was a great privilege to do that. There were six people in the congregation. And there were five old ladies and one old gentleman. And I preached on Psalm 104, verse 31. Let the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. And I remember I was standing in the old wooden pulpit of this church, because that's what you did. I would much rather have stood at the bottom, you know, in front of these six people, but I had to go up into the pulpit. And I remember reading that verse, and it was a very, very short sermon in those days. I didn't speak for long, Barry, you'd be pleased to know, but I leant over the pulpit and I pointed to these six people and I said, you are the works of the Lord, and he rejoices in you. And that was really about the sum total of my sermon. And I remember just, you know, I don't know if they understood that or not, but one or two of them smiled. And I thought, yeah, you understand. You understand that the Lord rejoices in you. Do you know, and I think if we get hold of that, it does us good. It actually, it puts that joy that is in the Father's heart, it puts it in our heart. And so what I want to say to you all today is you are the Lord's works.
Yeah.
And he rejoices in you. And I hope that does you good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not standing in my wooden pulpit pointing over the edge. It's kind of changed a little bit, but the sentiment is the same. You know, you are created, predestined by God to be sons and daughters. And the Lord rejoices in his works. He rejoices in you. Whatever's going on in your life, and I've seen some of the comments that have been posted, you know, whatever's going on in your life, the Lord rejoices in you because you are special. And he sees the bigger picture. You know, he sees beyond your immediate circumstances. And I kind of hope that leads us to the place where we can say, yeah, it's tough, but it is well with my soul.
Yeah.
You know, that old hymn, you know, it is well with my soul. That was written by a man who'd suffered great loss, you know, personal, financial loss, but much more than that, he'd lost many members of his family very, very suddenly and quickly and tragically. And he wrote that hymn, it is well with my soul. And he'd found out how to touch the joy of the Lord in tragedy.
Yeah.
And I guess even though he'd suffered tragedy, there was still a smile on his face. It's well with my soul.
Yeah,
that's what I want for us.
Yeah, and I mean, that's awesome. And I think of, like, and this is what you said. I think there's this tension of how does, like, the joy of the Lord doesn't negate suffering. Like, does it, like, it doesn't, like, he's disengaged and he's just wanting to celebrate, and he's not affected by the hurting of his people. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. But it's yet there's something in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the suffering, there is this, this ability to tap into joy in the midst of it, right? And it's not like, And it's not like, you know, because I think sometimes, and, you know, there was a comment Mike made that, you know, like just the idea about being joyful, right? And oftentimes we can, you know, in church we might say, you know, like people, like we're told to be joyful, and it's like it's our responsibility to do that, right? And I really think that the more that we're able to kind of reconcile in our own hearts that God loves us, He's close to the brokenhearted, He weeps with those who weeps, but yet in the midst of all of that, there is this eternal joy. And I just, you know, I think of Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and I think this is where we do see this connection with suffering and with joy, right? And if I can just read that, it just says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so it's this idea that it was the joy that was set before him that gave him the strength to endure the cross. And I'm not, you know, sure exactly what that joy all entailed, but the thing that I wonder about is you know, Hebrews 2, it talks about that Jesus brings many children to glory, right? And it's to touch his Father's heart, and to me, I just wonder if that joy that it caused him to go through the cross was seeing the joy of his Father being reconciled with all his little ones. And I just believe that even in any situation that we're in today, that I think that I believe that God wants to just, and I say yes and amen to Fiona, like a fresh baptism of love, fresh baptism of joy. I mean, I think I'm in. I don't know anybody else, but I would just absolutely love that, so that joy that comes from the Lord is the absolute underpinnings that strengthens us and roots us and grounds us in His love. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And those of you who have been following my weekly blogs, my weekly signposts, I've been writing just over the last few weeks about the book of Philippians. And normally Philippians is kind of referred to as the book of joy. It's a very joyful letter. I've come at it from the angle of trust. Because as I read it again, I could see how much Paul was encouraging us to trust the Father. But, you know, in Philippians, he often talks about rejoicing. You know, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. You know, what had he been through? He'd been through all those things that are listed in Corinthians, shipwrecked, torture, beatings, being stoned. You know, he'd gone without and a lot of things. And yet he says, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And, you know, he'd learned to rejoice because he'd learned to trust the Father. Mm. And at the end of Philippians, in the last chapter, it says, Paul is writing and he says, I have learned to be content when I am in need and when I have plenty. Mm. You know, and it's like, wow, you know, here's this guy. I've learned to be content, whatever's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, am I like that? No. Would I like to be like that? Yeah, probably. I don't necessarily like the idea of being in need, you know, but you know, Paul says, I've come to that place where whether I'm in need or whether I have plenty, I am content. See, contentment and joy go together. You know, when you are content, there's a joy that fills you because you don't need or you don't want or you don't desire anything else. You're satisfied. You know, when you're satisfied, you can just go, ah, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
And Paul, I believe, was able to find this place of contentment because he'd found this place of joy, this rejoicing. The number of times in Philippians he talks about rejoicing, it's incredible. Just read it sometime. you know, it just comes across. This is a man who is kind of happy with life, even though life is giving him a kick up or whatever. And he's found this place of saying, yeah, I can be in need, I can have plenty, but I am content because I know someone. Mm. You know, we often say, I know something. Actually, it's not about knowing something. It's about knowing someone.
Yeah.
And he's found that place of contentment. And he's learned what it really means to be, to rejoice. Mm. You know, the psalmist says in Psalm 16, verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. Mm. You fill me with joy in your presence.
Yeah.
With eternal pleasures at your right hand. Brilliant psalm. The whole psalm's wonderful, but that verse in particular. Mm. You've shown me the path to walk in, and you fill me with joy in your presence. Mm. The joy of the Lord is contagious. It really, really is. Mm. It's a good virus to get.
Well, anybody want that one tonight? I'll be the first in the line for it. So, you know, and when you said one of the things you said that kind of triggered a thought for me was just when you said when Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever state. And so here's this learning process that you and I and everybody else we're all on together. And then when you think about that learning, then you start thinking about, I went right to Romans 8, and starting at verse 35. And this is where Paul is being persuaded. You know, he goes, I am convinced, or I am persuaded, right, that nothing can separate me. And it's just like, again, that describes a process that at one point he wasn't convinced, and now he is convinced. And I think that's the process that each and every one of us are on. God understands. He knows that, you know, how hard life is. But I really believe what the Father wants for us is that to understand that, you know, that the joy is not something that is self-generated. It's not something that we're trying to stir up and work up and you know, look in the mirror and just, you know, declare things that, you know, out of our own emotion or good intentions, but it's a supernatural outpouring from his heart to our heart. And he just wants to fill us to the full measure of the fullness of God.
You know, which is pretty cool.
I mean, when you think about it, Ephesians 3, right? That we would have be strengthened in our inner being by the Holy Spirit, rooted and grounded in love, that we might have power to grasp how deep and how wide and how long and how high is the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that we might be filled to the full measure of his fullness. I mean, that's pretty big. And, you know, like we're just like little bodies, you know, in comparison to the full measure of the fullness of God. But I just say, yeah. I just say, yeah, Father, would you, no matter what we're going through, would you just, would you just do what only you can do? So I say amen to that, my brother.
Yeah. Well, let's go for it, shall we?
Absolutely.
Peter says in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8, even though this is reality, right? I mean, I think Peter's often, he has a very real approach in his letters, you know, what he says. He's the guy who opened his mouth and put his foot in it, and he kind of didn't lose that. You know, as he got older and more mature, he kind of kept that. I love it. You know, so this verse is real reality. Mm. You know, this is how it is. This is what it's like for us. Okay. 1 Peter 1:8, even though you don't see him, that's true. You love him. Mm. That's also true. You believe in him. I hope that's true. And are therefore filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the key to joy, is simply believing in him. You know, we don't have to try and work it up or crank it up or do anything. We don't have to be joyful. We just have to believe in him. And that unlocks an inexpressible joy. So, as Mike says, oh, Mike, I like the happy clappy. Mike says in the comments there, no more enforced happy clappy. Maybe it's just unenforced happy clappy.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you want that inexpressible and glorious joy, just be ready to receive.
Mm. Yeah. I just, yeah, that's, I'll just put the music on and I just trust that. Yeah, the Father wants just to fill us with His joy. He doesn't want us to feel isolated and alone and abandoned and discouraged. I just think of even Isaiah, the promise, and that was the proclamation, Isaiah 61, where Jesus announced His public ministry. And He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor and to bind up the brokenhearted and to set the captive free and to bring oil, the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Wow. So, Father, we just, you get it. You understand when we're in prison. You understand when we're brokenhearted. You know when we are in mourning and just and just having a heavy weighted spirit. And you don't. It's not like you are moved with the afflictions of your little ones. But in the midst of that, Father. Wow. We just believe, Father, that you just want that. That we would just be filled with joy, filled with your love, filled with your kindness, filled with an overflow of everything that comes from you. So that we could be able to have the perspective even that Paul, when he talked about the glory being revealed in us, that our light and momentary afflictions pale in comparison with the glory that is being revealed in us. And so, Father, would you just fill us with joy tonight? Would you just, blast us with your presence tonight? The oil of joy for mourning. A garment of praise, Father, for the spirit of heaviness today. In this world, Father, we know we will have trouble, but Father, we want that joy, that to be of good cheer, knowing that Jesus has overcome the world. So, Abba, we just position our hearts to receive tonight. Not a joy that comes from our circumstances, but a joy that flows from your heart.
Thank you, Father, that this joy is a fruit of your Spirit living in us. And Father, would you just pour more of that Spirit, more of your Spirit into each one of us right
now? Yes, Abba.
Not just for those who are watching live, but for those who watch later. Father, may there be an outpouring of your Spirit into our hearts. Releases that inexpressible and glorious joy. Father, even if our circumstances don't naturally warrant us to be joyful or cause us to be joyful, Father, may this joy that comes from you, may it override and overrule our circumstances. Because, Father, you see the big picture. And it is well. Everything is well with you. And may it become well for our souls. Father, just release your joy into our hearts. That we can smile at our enemies. Help us to smile at our enemies, Father. Help us to smile at our situations. Help us to smile at our physical pain. Help us to smile at our financial loss. Help us to smile at the fear that comes against our heart. Father, help us to smile because we're rooted and grounded in your love, that we're wrapped up in your everlasting, eternal joy. And that we can trust you, that we can be content in the good and in the not so good. Thank you, Father.
Wow.
Thank you.
think of Psalm chapter 23 where David says, "You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies." Yeah. And just the implications of God preparing this all-you-can-eat buffet, this banqueting feast in the presence of your enemies. And, you know, we know when we talk about enemies, we're not talking about people. We're talking about the things that are warring against the destiny that we have as beloved kids. Of, you know, Paul says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but it's the things that, you know, that oppose us and wear us down, and the discouragement and the fear. And I just believe that the Father wants to, in just this moment, I just even see this picture of him preparing this feast for you in the presence of your enemies. Whoa.
Amazing.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
There's joy at your right hand, Father. There's joy at your right hand. And thank you that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father. So there's joy in our hearts because of our place in Christ. Our place, our position in Him. And where He is in the heavenly places. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Abba.
Father, I just ask that you would refresh the weary tonight.
Yeah.
Father, those who are weary, whatever's caused that weariness, I believe it's more than just physical tiredness, but there's a weariness that's just like a lead weight that's dragging you down. And I just ask you, Father, to be a comfort to those who are weary tonight, and you would refresh them. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Yeah. Father, I just ask that refreshment that flows from your heart, that it would be like just a tangible liquid substance that flows into us and lifts our spirits. Father, that weariness would fall away.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, we might still be tired, but Father, we won't have to carry that burden of weariness.
Yes.
Father, just supernaturally lift that burden. Thank you, Father.
Now, reminded of Malachi 4, it says, "You shall be released like calves from a stall." And I know Mark talks a lot about wide open spaces, you know, that anything where we've been contained and we feel like we've been imprisoned. I just get a sense that maybe it's a word for somebody, that there's a releasing. And it's like, I know I've talked to farmers who've had cattle, and they talk about the little calves, that when they come out of that, when they're released from the stall and into the open spaces, they're kicking their hind legs, and they're just absolutely filled with, they get an exuberant joy.
Yeah.
May it be so, Abba.
Yeah.
Wow. May it be so, Abba. Yeah.
May it be. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, Dad. Wow.
Yeah.
Amen and amen, eh?
Amen and amen.